Well, Manawatu's district deputy mayor has had a wish come true this morning with the government giving owners of earthquake-prone buildings more time to complete strengthening work. It is also bringing forward a review into the current regulations. Michael Ford, a commercial real estate agent by day, has been working with Local Government New Zealand and other council leaders to try and find solutions. He joins us now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Corin.
Why was this delay so necessary?
Look, we very much welcome this news. It gives the, for example, a community like ours in Fielding, we have less than 4 years to have all our brick buildings, our unreinforced masonry buildings, either strengthened or demolished. And while we've made good progress, I think we've done 12, we've got another 7 in the pipeline, we just won't get the others done. And so we need to come up with something sensible. Otherwise, we'd end up having to demolish all these buildings in less than 4 years' time, and we'd have a town centre that would be destroyed by legislation and policy rather than an actual earthquake.
I mean, the regulations, current regulations, they were put in 2017. Obviously, a lot of these issues around quake-prone buildings emerged after the Christchurch earthquake quite some time ago. Why has it taken so long?
Well, in a low-rent communities like Fielding, but there's many others around New Zealand in high and medium risk zones, the economic viability of doing this work often just doesn't stack up. Most of these buildings in our town add no value to the land, and yet we're talking many hundreds of thousands of dollars to strengthen them, and also there isn't necessarily money for redevelopment. Now, these things just take time. And with time, we can manage it. But with the tight time frames of, we ended up with 7.5 years only after the legislation, and we can't do it. So we really welcome this, and it gives us a chance to reevaluate the risk as a nation. And but we're not just saying let's kick the can down the road. We're actually offering the minister some compromise suggestions that would significantly reduce the risk to human life in a relatively affordable way in exchange for a larger time frame.
Well, let's talk about some of those. I mean, firstly, 7.5 years, that puts you're on the higher risk category, aren't you? I mean, a lot of the buildings in Fielding would be very low on the building code, wouldn't they? Well below 34, probably well below 15.
I work in a building that's 4% NBS, so you're quite right.
So that's what we're dealing with there. So what are you suggesting are some ways you could mitigate risk? Because obviously people listening to this might be thinking, well, that's all very well, but what if there was a big quake in the next 4 years? You know, that people will obviously be very upset if buildings fail. So what is some things you could do as part of this review to try and, you know, balance that risk?
Right, so some of the suggestions that we've been making to the Minister include if a building owner strengthens the veranda, for example, either builds a new one or strengthens the veranda so that in the case of a catastrophic earthquake and the front facade falls off, which is typically what can happen, the facade would land on the veranda and it would protect the people underneath on the footpath and save lives. Another pragmatic suggestion is to have a safe area within each building or within each floor of each building, which could be a steel cage, and if there's an earthquake, everyone runs for the cage, if there's time. So these are a couple of the suggestions we're making, because the likes of the verandas, they could be put up for tens of thousands of dollars rather than hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, which is the total cost. What we don't want is a whole lot of vacant buildings or abandoned buildings.
I mean, yeah, has the easy stuff been done? Because as we know from the Christchurch earthquake, it was things like verandas and, you know, stone masonry on the tops of buildings and things like that. A lot of that stuff fell and caused all sorts of problems and harm. Has that stuff been done?
No. So I mentioned before that 12 buildings have been strengthened and another 7 are in the pipeline in our town, and I imagine that's fairly typical throughout the country, but there's a lot of buildings that haven't, and no, that work hasn't been done, but it's many building owners have taken the view that it's not worth starting unless they can do the whole thing. So we've got a large old hotel, for example, be a couple of million dollars to strengthen and probably another few million to upgrade. And with 7.5 years to do it in, The owner said, look, there's no point in me starting. Whereas if they'd had a longer time frame, they would have been happy to make a start and make incremental strengthening moves over the period of time. And if that had been the case, we might have had the building half strengthened by now.
Has there been too much sentimentality around the historic nature of some of these buildings, in the sense that people are hanging on to things which to strengthen, and we're seeing this in Wellington, the nightmares, the cost blowouts with strengthening historic buildings, which come with a lot more complexity. Should people perhaps be more clear-eyed about this and just say, look, this is a dangerous building, it's got to come down, we'll build something better in its place?
So there's a couple of things. One is the economics of building another building is still rather challenging for a lot of the low-rent parts of New Zealand. So we have rather weak protection on a large number of heritage buildings. I would certainly prefer to see strong protection for a small number of our best buildings and remove the protection for the others and let the market decide.
Yeah, because I was reading somewhere, are there restrictions around heights and those sort of things sometimes with heritage buildings which prevent redevelopment?
So one of the things that the Minister has suggested is that maybe they could allow buildings to be, redeveloped buildings to be built higher, taller than what's currently allowed, so which would improve the incentive to actually do something about a building that's there. So, and it seems like it's possibly not that relevant for a town like Fielding, but certainly in larger cities, that makes a lot of sense.
Just finally, in terms of government assistance, council assistance, help from banks, has there been enough in that area in terms of financial assistance? I know there's been some heritage money available at times. I don't think it is anymore. Is that a way forward where you just have to get grants, you have to get interest-free loans, whatever it's going to be?
So certainly if we narrowed down the number of buildings that we're actually wanting to protect and save, that would help. We are missing the Heritage Equip, which was a part of the Ministry of Culture funding, which in our case funded a number of engineering reports. We found that helpful. That funding's gone. Our council's only in a position to be able to assist with discounts on consenting fees, so there's not a lot of assistance there. Other councils like Whanganui have a heritage fund for facades, and so I think they've got $150,000 in it or something, rather helpful. So, but our community just can't afford that.
Very good. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Michael. Michael Ford there, a commercial real estate agent who is also Manawatū District's Deputy Mayor. This is on the earthquake-prone building issue with an extension to the timeframes for getting that work done announced by the government. We will speak to the Minister after 7. Very complex issue.